All right. Are you done?
I'm not done yet. One second. Okay. I'll just mute myself whenever I'm drinking.
Well, welcome to the Huzz Bandits.
Oh, head freeze. Ah.
God.
Oh, God.
Yeah, geez, good. Oh.
Hello, and welcome to the
Huzz Bandits.
Huzz Bandits. A toy of our kids went off just in the background.
Oh God, creepy.
Yeah. So, what's up, Ryan?
I am here in my hotel room in Austin.
And I am at home watching the kids, guys. The
Yeah,
cows.
I got to get away. I'm free.
Yeah. You enjoying your break?
Yes, I'm in Austin for my job. I started a new company this week, so I'm here in Austin just getting settled in, and Jimmy's handling all the chaos.
Yeah. Luckily, I have Ryan's mom helping us. She's helping with the watching the kids. Of course, they have daycare too, but they're in bed right now. They're sleeping. Are you enjoying your hotel room by yourself? The quietness of the hotel room?
It is very quiet, but I do miss home. I miss all the craziness and the chaos and the sweet little kiddos. So when they
Yeah.
called me earlier and
I love how you say you miss the kiddos, but you don't say you like you me. Where do I fit in?
I'm talking to you right now
No.
on Zoom,
Okay.
but I haven't gotten to see them yet, little pumpkins.
Yeah, you have. I FaceTimed you.
Oh, I don't remember.
Yeah. Must be enjoying that hotel room too much. So Ryan loves like when we get to hotels because especially when we get the rooms that have the queen beds, because he'll just pass out on one of the beds and like sprawl out to where I can't even get on the
Well, when
bed.
there's two beds, not when there's
I
just one.
know. It is nice to sleep in a separate bed every once in a while and have that space where we're not sleeping on the same bed. I'm sure it gets old after a while. No, I don't know. I actually like having somebody sleeping in the bed with me.
It's not bad when we have our king bed, but I don't know. You and me, we just don't work on a queen. We have to have a king and
We're
have
not
enough space.
queens, people. We're not queens. So this week is going to be a little different how we're doing it this through Zoom. And I was looking at what do I want to talk about this week and what made me smile the most or gave me the biggest laugh. And it's typically how I do my do my stuff. So Ryan, are you ready?
I'm ready.
So let me pull up my notes here. So I don't even know how to say the name here, but it's hi, one second.
Why don't you just call it the person or the resident?
Hold on, sorry. I'm gonna do this. Okay, I'm gonna call it the elephant. Okay, so where do I leave off? So Ryan, are you ready?
Ready.
All right. Well, I normally look for a story like something that gives me a big laugh or makes me smile or makes me think a little bit too, but I really like stuff that gives me a little laugh or I find funny. And of course, I have a weird sense of humor. And Ryan laughs at me. I don't know if he's laughing at me or with me.
Sometimes both.
Yeah. Well, I like found this story online, and this story came out of Thailand. And I'm not going to say all the names because I really, with my Texas twang, and I probably wouldn't get the names right and don't want to offend anyone. So this week, an elephant by the name of, we're going to call the elephant Peanuts. So this week, no, just playing, we're not going to do that. This week, an elephant surprised a couple when he woke them up by breaking into their home early in the morning. It's like roughly around 2 a.m. So like imagine this couple sleeping in their house and all of a sudden you hear a big loud noise and you hear something in your house. You don't know what it is. So the noise was coming from the kitchen. So the couple who was sleeping, they're woken up by this strange loud noise and they rushed to the kitchen and to discover that there was a large elephant rummaging through their pantry.
He was hungry. He's like, yeah. Oh, the biscuits.
Yeah. Well, part of the wildlife center there, they said that it was attracted to the food in the kitchen. And so that's why it came into the house. But luckily the couple was able to shoo away the intruder, but not before it swiped a giant bag of rice and put it in his mouth. So the elephant like said, nope, I mean, that rice is mine, took the rice, put it in his mouth, and before it started running back into the forest. That's crazy. They woke up, you got this giant elephant going through your pantry, literally tore right through your wall. Like your house is open, exposed to the elements. Like there's this big elephant-shaped hole in your kitchen wall. Luckily for us, we actually get to see the pictures of this because the couple, they have a camera that was recording at the time that the incident happened. And so you see the elephant coming through the wall, like rampaging through the wall. And there's just this shaped elephant hole. Luckily, they were able to shoo the elephant away and no one was hurt. The elephant took off with a bag of rice. But the elephant caused about $1,600 worth of damages. This is not the first time that this elephant has been up to mischief. Per the aggrieved couple, a few months ago, they saw the elephant and they're just happy the elephant didn't cause any damage then. But it's crazy. This story is not the only story this month reported where elephants are conspiring against humans. So, again, I don't know where that... Do you hear that?
What did that thing say?
I have no clue. It's one of our kids' toys. It's actually coming
Robert, from... Robert, the doll, coming back to get you.
It's coming, yeah. It's coming from the toy box. We have no clue where it's... That's like. Amazing. I looked for it, and I can't find it. So, it's
one of... Oh, my gosh. Well, that made me think about... Because you were talking about how the elephant ran off with the rice. That's kind of how Luna, for whatever reason... The pup monster loves to eat bread or tortillas. So I always find her running off with a bag full of bread or a bag full of tortillas and she just runs off with it and doesn't let you get it.
Oh yeah, like last week or the week before vacation where she hopped up on the counter and grabbed like slices of bread. She had like, 3 slices of bread in her mouth and she was running back to her cage.
I will say like a Luna-shaped hole in the wall would actually be cute. You just call it all Looney Tunes running out the door with her bag of bread.
So like I said, this is not the only craziness that's being made by elephants. I think elephants are conspiring against humans because earlier this month, there was a story that was reported from China of a herd of elephants trekking over 300 miles across China, forcing whole cities to evacuate, literally. I guess they were scared they were going to get hurt by these elephants. I don't know. But it caused the cities to evacuate. This, of course, did cause some economic damage for tourism and other things as well. So hurt some of these economies of these cities. So you have like 14 elephant movies that you can stream. And Dumbo is one of them if you wanted to stream that. But you got Water for
Elephants. Cartoon of Dumbo, right? Because the real life one, I didn't really watch that one either, but it looked kind of creepy. Did you watch that movie?
No, but maybe we watch it with the kids. We did watch it with the kids. We did, and I don't think that they liked it. They liked the cartoon.
It was creepy.
Yeah, the eyes were kind of weird and too blue. So, and the ears were too big. So yeah, that's pretty much it right there. But I was thinking like we could do our own like there's the noise again. We can do our own like what would you name an elephant movie? Something crazy. So, literally looking at the pictures, I guess what made me laugh so much.
Oh, the trunk bandit. No.
I had elephants invading. Aliens from Elephant World.
Okay, those are all not very great. We'll workshop it. We'll figure something out.
Well, I just can't imagine what our house would look like if an elephant came in it. And I just thought it was funny. And houses there, they're made out of bamboo. And then they have wood structure. So, I mean... The walls were not made out of brick. The elephant could easily get in. So this definitely beats the other segment I was going to do, which is like, I was like, it's not really me, was top 10 things that make a successful marriage.
Oh, yeah. We'll save that one for another day, right? Yeah.
I will say that three of them had to do with sex.
Oh. Out of how many? 10?
Yeah, 10.
Oh, gosh.
Keeping it sexy. Like not farting in front of your husband.
Oh, or that's definitely something
that... Or going to the bathroom in front of each other. Were
those on the list?
Yeah, they were on the list.
Oh, man.
Like, it was like under the keeping it sexy. Like, wow. Keeping sexy. And then the other one was keep sex on the calendar.
Oh, like a little rocket ship. Remember on Everybody Loves Raymond, they put a little rocket ship on the special days.
Yeah, and then don't be afraid to explore.
Hmm. Okay. Well, I just got my pizza. Look, I got a little tiny pizza.
Well, I'm drinking my drink.
Oh, I clearly see that.
Yeah. It's okay. I hope that they can hear it. But that was my segment. Real quick, I did want to bring up something versus saving it to the end, but I just want to thank people that have left us a review on Apple Podcasts. We appreciate those reviews, and we really do have a lot of fun doing this, don't we, Ryan?
Yes, we totally do. I think it's kind of fun to find different stories and to tell you guys about it and to tell Jimmy about it, because he has never heard of any of these things before. He's like, what is that?
I don't listen to any of your podcasts. We love hearing from you, and any feedback that you have, what we can do better or what you would like for us to talk about, or any questions that you'll have about our relationship. If it's Ryan and I have certain rules of what we share and what we don't share, of course, because this is public. And we also have kids. As we mentioned in our first podcast, we are foster parents. We're fostering to adopt. And so we're just very careful about sharing too much of that right now. But our plan is, as time goes on, we adopt, we're going to share a lot more and about our experience.
Yeah, and our foster agency asked us to be the LGBTQ couple featured for Pride Month at the foster agency, which is the agency that we work with. So you guys will maybe be seeing our faces tied to that and celebrating Pride Month for foster families.
And follow us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter. What else are we on, Ryan? Are we on Instagram?
Instagram. All the places that you will want to find us. And we don't know how to do reviews on all of them, like Spotify and wherever else you might be listening to podcasts, but we know you guys are smart and can find it. And we hope you will take a few extra minutes to do
that. Because all of that helps just to support us and what we're doing. And we really enjoy doing this. This is really like, that goes back to the segment I was going to do, Ryan.
Don't fart in front of me.
No. It was one of the other things that successful marriages have, and that is making time to actually have meaningful discussions with your significant other. I don't want to say partner. It just seems
instead of walking in and your husband is going poop on the potty and you're like, I'm pooping.
Yeah, and being mindful too of saying gross things, because that could be not good either, right?
Right.
Yeah. So okay. Well, anyways, Ryan, what do you got for me?
Well, we'll do a complete 180. And this week I wanted to cover who put Bella in the witch elm.
Ooh. Bandit banter, y'all. Let's get on with this bandit banter.
So another mysterious case and story that I have for you this week, which I'm assuming, but I'll ask anyways, have you heard about the case of Bella and this witch elm tree?
You think I've heard of Bella and the witch elm tree?
I'm 100% sure you haven't, but I thought I would be polite and ask.
No.
Okay. Well, this is another one where it's kind of an unsolved mystery. For this one, we're in England, where the story is going to be taking place. On April 18th, 1943, there were four local children in Hagley Wood, in England. It's in Worcester, England. Or wait, Worcestershire? I have the same problem with just like Worcester.
Worcester.
I almost said Worcester sauce. There were four children that were out there collecting bird eggs in the 1940s. I mean, what else did you have to do except go hunting for bird eggs, I guess. They saw this big tree, this giant witch elm tree. We're starting to put some of the pieces together here. But they saw this big tree and they're like, hey, there's probably a lot of great bird eggs up there on this giant tree. One of the boys had climbed up to the top of this tree. And when they got up there, they noticed that the tree was hollowed out. And inside, they saw a human skull in the hollowed tree trunk.
Ooh.
So creepy, right?
Now with your eyebrows again. He's like,
I love it. Oh my gosh, which totally unrelated, but I was FaceTiming with you yesterday and you were like, what happened to your face? And so like, what are you talking about? Because I thought it looked cute on the FaceTime, but I guess the lighting, because there's a lamp right here and then all the way on the other side, I guess it looked like I have one eyeball or something.
Yeah, it looked like your face was not moving as you were talking. Like one side of your face was moving and the other side was just like, I'm like, are you okay?
Yeah, I know. You were so worried. You're like, are you okay? What happened? I'm like, what do you mean?
So yeah, I thought you had a stroke or something. I'm like, are you having a stroke? Are you having a seizure in front of me and I don't know it?
Yeah.
You don't know it?
All is fine. I'm good. But anyway, so this kid saw this human skull in this hollow tree trunk and is like, what the heck? That's not an egg. What am I supposed to do with this? And yeah. I would assume that a bunch of kids would be freaked out and run off and scream and be like, there's a ghost in here, or probably something similar to that. Mm-hmm. But they initially returned home and they didn't tell anybody about what they had found because ultimately they were trespassing in Hagley Wood because it was owned by a lord of the Hagley Estate named Lord Cobham. So they were trespassing looking for these bird eggs and therefore they didn't want to tell their parents or tell anybody about it because they didn't want to get in trouble because they weren't supposed to be there looking for eggs, period. Now, the youngest boy, and this reminds us of our youngest boy, but he felt guilty and had trouble keeping a secret, so ended up telling his parents that they had found this human skull and this skeleton in the tree trunk, and it launched a police investigation into this case.
So is this like a park, Hagglewood?
Hagley Woods. So it's more Hagley of a woods, like woods on this land where the Hagley Estate was in England.
Okay. So it's like
that's where this tall tree was.
Not like a park or anything.
Right, right. It's 1943. This is a bunch of woods on this piece of land. And the particular tree was called a witch elm, which is a type of elm tree that I've never heard about before, but very creepy being called a witch elm, though it's spelled W-Y-C-H. So not spelled like a ha-ha-ha-ha witch or a no children witch.
Do that again.
I smell children.
Witch, it's a witch tree.
Witch elm tree.
Witch elm tree.
Uh-huh.
Well, I just Google. I love Google. Don't you know that?
You also love ADD.
Yeah. You got the Dracula orchid. Then you got the devil's claw. These aren't trees. I don't know what these are. And then you got the strangler fig. Like who the hell names these trees, like these plants? Yeah, so these are scary plant names for Halloween.
Okay. Well.
One of Jimmy's random ADD adventures.
That should be the name of our next podcast.
This one should be the description should be husband reads his husband scary mysterious stories for the first time, and the other husband. While the other husband shares randomness.
Husband vows not to poop on the toilet when Brian's there again.
Yeah. The death apple. Okay, that's the last one.
Okay. Well, I'm going to
pull. Wait. Zombie palm. Guess okay. It's a zombie palm drink. Okay, I'm done.
I'm going to pull your phrase. And anywho, during the police investigation, they recovered a practically complete skeleton within this tree. So first there was the skull, which they could see from the top of the tree. The boys saw that. But when they actually went to recover that skull, they found a practically complete skeleton within mm-hmm. the tree, along with a gold wedding ring. There was a shoe, some finger bones. But the remains of the right hand were actually found some distance from the tree. And we'll get back to that here in a second. Pretty much the body of this woman, the skeleton, I should say, was found with inside this witch elm tree.
Hmm.
Now, they determined that she'd been dead for at least 18 months before she was recovered or before they found the body in the tree, which would put it roughly October of 1941. And we're right now in 1943 when this discovery took place. The cause of death seemed to be suffocation because they found a section of silk within her mouth. And it was silk at the time that was either a nightgown or from the inside of a coat, but it was strange to find that within her mouth. So it led them to assume the cause of death could be strangulation or suffocation because that was all they had was a skeleton. You can't really figure out what exactly happened from a skeleton without a whole lot of clues.
Mm.
Now, due to the size of the hollowed out trunk, it was determined that it would only make sense that she was put there immediately following her death. If she had been dead longer, rigor mortis sets in where your body is a lot harder and it wouldn't have fit within that tree.
Hmm. What is rigor mortis? Do you know what that is?
I do. I've watched CSI and Law and Order.
Well, I grew up in a funeral home, so I know what it is too.
Yeah, so you are very familiar because you've seen a lot of it, which is totally creepy.
Yeah. A little sprinkle of us right there.
A little sprinkle.
We won't go into too much of that.
Some rainbow sprinkling funeral home action. But unfortunately, so many people were reported missing during that time. It was during World War II, and so it was impossible to properly identify the body because there were so many missing people reported during that time.
Hmm.
So that's where a mystery started taking a hold, not knowing who this person was. They couldn't identify her. What are you doing?
Oh, I'm taking a picture of you so we can put this on Facebook.
You do realize I'm recording this, right?
Oh, I thought it'd be kind of cool coming from like not in the computer, but like on the outside of the computer. It's not real big. Another Jimmy ADHD or ADD moment. I don't know. All right, done.
Jimmy's magical ADD adventures.
Yeah, baby.
Okay. Well, anyways. So, yeah, it was hard to identify her.
The wonderful. Sorry, I'll stop.
Anyways, it was near impossible to identify her because of the vast amount of missing people reported during that time in history. So it gets a little creepy and strange.
Can you say her name?
Well, I haven't gotten there yet because we don't know what her name is. We don't know who this person is.
Oh, okay.
But the year following is where it does get a bit twisty. A strange message started to appear for the first time, and it was about 25 miles away from the Witch Elm and from Hagley Wood. It was in Upper Dean Street, which is in Birmingham, and it was on a wall. There was graffiti that had appeared there. And it said, "Who put Bella in the witch elm?" So the strange message cropped out of nowhere a year following her discovery within the tree. Yeah. And it says, "Who put Bella in the witch elm?" So it's calling the skeleton Bella. Well, who's Bella? We don't know who Bella is. Who did put her in the witch elm? Like, what is starting to happen here? Now, what's creepier, and we'll go into some theories here in a second, but they found ever since that 1944 first instance of the graffiti appearing. There has been numerous instances of similar handwriting graffiti over the years, even as recent as 2016, asking the same question, who put Bella in the Witch Elm? So it's appeared for at least 75 years. That same message, who put Bella in the Witch Elm?
Same, so the same message in the same handwriting?
Similar handwriting, yeah, in different places, including there was an obelisk close to where the body was found that it's been spotted on. So it's just, it's cropped up consistently over the years and has added further fuel to the mystery of who this person was, why were they put in the Witch Elm, and really what's going on here.
Mm.
So without a whole lot of, who do you think she is? What do you think happened?
I mean, I guess her name's Bella.
We would assume.
I have no clue who put her in the elm tree. The zombie, it would be kind of cool if the tree's name was like a zombie pong. We found who put Bella under the zombie pong. I actually looked up a picture of it. It looks kind of weird. I don't know, babe. I don't know. That's weird. Like, who would be writing these letters or these notes in the same handwriting for 75 years? Like, get a life. They must have a guilty conscience.
That could be it. Yeah. I don't know why else they would be doing it, but...
And give you, like, hints, like, who put Bella, last initial H, and the Witch Elm? That would be more helpful.
Who put Bella Smith from Worcester?
Who put Bella at, who lived at 123 Worcester Drive? Worcester Drive.
Worcester. We're never going to get that.
Well, what you told me.
Yeah, that's where we're at right now. So we've got a handful of theories on who this person is and what happened. And something that was strange, remember I said that her right hand was found away from the tree. It was found a few feet away from the tree.
Like on the ground, or was it buried?
I would assume it was buried. I didn't really see it clarified there. But since it was so close to the time when it was found, I would assume it was close by. But it could be tied to something called the Hand of Glory. And I don't know if you've heard about that before.
No.
No, I didn't think you would have. I actually remember it from Harry Potter. They have something called the Hand of Glory in there, which one of the characters, Malfoy, well, you know who they are. Malfoy uses it to sort of sneak around in one of the books. I doubt it would be real, but... it's an item that would supposedly grant light only to the person using it. And anybody that it was presented to would be frozen or paralyzed for a little bit. So thieves would use it to rob houses because they could do it in the dark where this hand with a candle in it would show them the light to nobody else. And if somebody was home, it would temporarily paralyze them. But what's creepy about it is it's a part of the sort of occult witchcraft type of ritual where it involves cutting the hand off of a person who is usually hanged for murder. And it goes on further in this sort of ritual that a candle would be made from the fat of the person and the wick would be made from the hair of the victim. So they would get this cut off hand and make this candle from the fat of the person and a wick from their hair. I think that's pretty creepy.
It's like a Conjuring movie.
Yeah, very creepy. And it was one that showed up on the theories. Apparently there was a similar ritual type death of a man named Charles Walton that had happened nearby. And they tied that to gypsies and thought that this person could have been a part of a cult ritual by these gypsies, and her death was a part of a sacrifice or some sort of creepy doings.
I don't know. I mean, who has time to take freaking dead person's fat and put it, make a candle out of it, and then put dead people's hair? I don't know. Sorry, I was trying to post that picture of you on Facebook. I was listening.
Is this on your list of things?
I've taken my Adderall today, Ryan. I've taken my Adderall, okay? Chill. Just kind of, well, it's 10 o'clock. It runs out around 8. So I'm trying to hang in there. But none of that theory.
Okay.
I think she was murdered, and I think she was put in the tree to hide her body.
Hmm. Wow. Next up is a declassified MI5 dossier, assuming that this woman was an actress and a singer named Clara Barrow, who had parachuted from Germany to England while she was training to become a spy. And this theory came about because her lover, Joseph Jacobs, was arrested by a citizens' militia after parachuting himself into England. Now, there wasn't really any evidence suggesting or corroborating the story that Clara had parachuted into England, and she was actually a foot taller than the body that was identified in the Witch Elm by about a foot. Clara was about 6 foot, and we're going to call her Bella, was 5 feet. So there was definitely a size difference between the two. And then it was recently determined that Clara, this actress and singer from Germany, actually died in Berlin in 1942. And that was a year after the estimated death of Bella in the Witch Elm. So that one, I think, has been pretty much debunked and determined.
How would you know? It's M5.
Right? It is MI5.
It could be confidential. They may just pretend they didn't know her.
Yeah.
I'm liking that theory.
Like the Dyatlov pass and how it was a cover-up and they're hiding it.
All of these mysterious stories are cover-ups by the governments.
What? Could be. Now, there was another idea that was shared of who the woman could be from Stephen Punt, who is a screenwriter and actor, I guess famous in the UK. He suggested the woman might be a sex worker named Bella, or Lou Bella, who had worked on Hagley Road after a fellow Birmingham sex worker reported to the police in 1944. It was determined that she had disappeared a few years prior, about 3 years before, and it seemed to fit, obviously, the name Bella, the graffiti saying who put Bella in a witch elm. So we have a sort of corroboration between the names there, suggesting that this might be who this person was, a sex worker on Hagley Road. Now, another theory, was that toy again?
It keeps going off.
Robert, he waited until I was out of the house, and now he's like, you took my picture without permission, and I'm swiggity-swooting, coming for that booty. Okay, so the next theory is, in 1953, a woman named Una Massop had made a statement to police claiming that her ex-husband, Jack, had confessed that he put a woman in the tree with the help of a partner named Van Rout. And it goes from what I was able to uncover that these two men were reportedly drinking in a Hagley pub when this woman passed out from drinking. And thinking that they would teach her a lesson, they both took this woman and put her in the tree with the thought that, hey, she's going to wake up and be like, whoa, I need to stop drinking and being a crazy partier because I end up in random trees that I have no recollection of ever getting inside. So sounds pretty sus to me, that it was to teach her a lesson, and they put her there thinking, ha, 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 we are going to make this person's life better. So kind of was as far as I could see there, unless they actually killed her and put her in a tree, which in my opinion would be way more likely than taking her to some random tree, especially if they were trespassing on the land to put her there, since Lord Cobb, what's his name, was the one who owned Hagley Estate. Now, Jack was actually to spend the rest of his life in a mental hospital after he had frightening dreams of a woman staring at him from the Witch Elm and ultimately died before the body was even discovered. So that's the last of the theories that could potentially explain who Bella was and how she got into this Witch Elm tree.
Maybe she climbed up the Witch Elm tree and just fell down it and couldn't get out. But then you can't explain her hand being cut off. And of course, I don't know like the injury she had. When they took her out of the tree, did it say like what kind of other injuries she had on her body?
It really didn't say it very much, just that she had a gold wedding ring, which would maybe give to the fact that she wasn't robbed or jumped because they would have taken that. She had a shoe in there, and her dental records were pretty solid. So not a whole lot of damage to the body. Besides that silk that was found in her mouth, there wasn't a whole lot of evidence into what actually killed her if that wasn't the case.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the wedding ring being on her, she wasn't robbed. It's probably something she knew.
Yeah, it could be.
That's just creepy. It's so weird. It's creepy.
Yes. Now,
I think it could, well, if it was a serial killer, though, they'd have similar incidents. So I wonder, like, how many people were murdered and had their hands missing from them?
Yeah, that definitely is something that would be a calling card to the serial killer, right?
Yeah,
right. But the fact that there was this graffiti for this particular victim, it doesn't make sense of who would be doing it and why they would be doing it. Now, I would assume in more modern times, since the most recent was 2016, that people are just doing it to do it, because you know how people are these days of like, oh, let's just put that on there and get some attention. But early on, when it was right after the death and it just started appearing for the first time.
During World War II.
Yeah.
Yeah. During the Cold War. Like, who has time for that?
Exactly. More recently, they actually tasked some scientists with putting together a reconstruction of what Bella would have looked like based on the skull. So pull up the picture.
What is it? What do I Google?
Just do like Bella Witch Elm reconstruction.
Oh, facial reconstruction. Here it is.
Oh, that toy. Oh, that was creepy.
I know. I'm ready for it. I don't know where it's at. I don't know. It's somewhere over there. Huh. Face of Bella. Here it is. Ooh. Yeah, I don't know if they're doing her nose justice, though. Like, how do they know that her nose looks like that? Come on. Be nice to Bella. I have a big nose, and I love my nose.
Okay, well, that's Bella from Witch Elm.
I love my nose. Oh, well, Bella, we're sorry. Don't know what happened to you, girl. I wonder if they, like, killed her and then, like, or didn't even kill her. Maybe they just put her in the tree and let her die there.
It could be because she was either still warm, or I don't know if they could have determined if she was still alive at the time.
Yeah.
But I would assume if she was still alive, there would be like signs that she was trying to climb out, maybe scratching on the inside.
Well, how big is the tree? Like, I'm imagining a tree that's big enough just to hold a body. Like let me Google witch elm tree.
Well, it's definitely a creepy tree. It's like this big.
Oh yeah, that's a big tree. I wonder if they still have that tree there, or maybe they had to cut it down.
Ugh.
To get her, or were they able to just pull her body out?
I don't know, but
I'm looking at the picture of the witch elm tree, and they are big. They're big, so yeah.
And creepy.
Yeah, they're creepy looking too. You could easily put a body in there. Wow.
That is the story of who put Bella in the witch home.
Well, that was a great story, Ryan. Appreciate you sharing that with me.
Another creepy mystery, potential government cover-up.
Yeah.
Just looking at a witch elm tree, because I hadn't really looked at it before. That's a creepy tree.
Very creepy. Anywho, I feel like we always get in during this deep stuff, and I always want to end light. Like, it's too much that hardcore craziness. Like murder, mystery, creepy dolls.
Mystery and creepy noises there as the doll. Oh my gosh. You know those movies they've been doing recently with, they're doing webcams or FaceTime or something, and then you see on the person you're talking to and something creepy appears behind them. I'm like, oh my gosh, I don't even want to look at your video right now. I'm scared something's going to pop up behind you that only I can see.
So I watched The Conjuring. Yesterday I had one of those days. Actually, it's been one of those weeks with the kids, like me being here by myself. So I really, really appreciate you, Ryan, and what you do, because I don't know if I could do this with these kids by myself. I mean, props to all the single parents out there raising kids on their own. It's a lot of work. Kids are a lot of work. And
a lot of work.
Yeah. So really appreciate having my husband, Ryan, here. He does a lot. I was thinking maybe we can close this episode with some random dad jokes. Father's Day passed, and I just thought, why not end this podcast with some dad jokes to celebrate Father's Day that passed. Happy Father's Day, Ryan, that this past Sunday. The kids call Ryan Daddy, and they call me Papa. So here's the first one. All right, these are corny dad jokes. You better not cut this out. I'm afraid for the calendar. Its days are numbered. Right, come on. All right. Singing in the shower is fun until you get soap in your mouth. Then it's a soap opera. Am I not seeing these right? Okay. Let's go down to the best one-liner dad jokes category. I used to
knock,
be.
Knock.
Who's there?
Who put Belle in a witch elm?
Who put Belle in the witch elm? Who?
Oh, I didn't have anything.
You did. All right. Ryan, do you have any jokes? Oh, here's one. What does garlic do when it gets too hot? Ryan, come on. You're supposed to say what?
What?
It takes its cloves off. Okay.
Well, thank you for another wonderful episode of Ramblings, Jimmy Henry.
You know, I feel like we just need to, you share all this mysterious, spooky, scary stuff, murders, dolls that just pass curses on you. And I just feel like we need to end it. Like, I come in here and I give our audience what's going on with the funny stuff, the trend. You come in here and you're like, there was this tree, there was a witch elm, witch, scary, dead body found in it, hand cut off.
There is an elephant-sized hole, and it was eating some rice.
I'm not sure you go somewhere else with an elephant-sized hole.
Oh, God.
Okay. And on that note, we're going to end this podcast. So, if you have not liked us on Facebook, give us a like at the Huzz Bandits. I think we're also on Instagram. And what else, Ryan?
Twitter.
Also, like our posts. Someone won $25 because they commented on one of our posts that we asked a question. Like, we posted a question and nobody responded. We're still starting out, guys. We're still starting out. We got to start somewhere. That's what I say.
Don't make us sound like losers, Jimmy. We're winners.
We are ranked 188 of podcasts in Canada for relationships.
Oh, we should have started that. We're like trending in Canada.
We are trending.
Yeah.
188th podcast.
Out of, we don't know how many, but we're going to assume 188.
We're moving up. Yes, our goal is to be top 50.
Yeah.
All right. I love you, baby. All right.
Love you. Bye, everyone.
Bye, everybody.